Hello, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. On Track 1, Corey will provide his commentary adapted from the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Education Program, current research data, and his clinical experience. On Track 2, he will be joined by Tracy Hawley on He Said, She Said, for her female focus on topics related to whole food, health, relationships, and raising healthy children. Track 3 features an interview with our special guest, who will share their expertise and experience in the healthcare, fitness, and sports nutrition field. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 11, Number 8. In the last edition of Clinical Review, I began a review of my personal contest training and diet plan for Mr. Hawaii, scheduled in Honolulu on June the 8th, 2013. I'm very excited about this. I can't wait. And, of course, we're going to tie in our Camp Hawaii in the same month in June 2013. Always a good time in Hawaii to get out on the beaches, to behold the majesty and the beauty of the Hawaiian Islands. I could never get enough. Now, as a quick reminder, our annual Sports Nutrition Conference and Trade Show is coming up on September 29th in Coquitlam at the Best Western Inn. Tickets are $45 each, and details and tickets are available online. On this edition of Clinical Review, I'll continue to review my contest preparations and training program for the show. My goal is to share all the details and planning stages so that if you as a teacher with your clients or as a competitor yourself, you can take in some of this stuff and consider what it is that I'm doing and possibly incorporate some of the principles into your own lifestyle and diet, whether you're preparing for a show or teaching someone how to do that. But my goal is to train for this show and get in the best shape possible, but to stay well and not compromise health through the process. I want to develop my physique. Obviously, this is a bodybuilding competition, and symmetry is of the utmost importance. Performance, posing, but wellness of health and mind, very, very important. Well, let's talk about contest periodization. Now, this is a science, and I cover this in detail in Module 6 of the CSNA Education Program, Training and Exercise Philosophy. But in simple terms, periodization relates to periods of time. So periodization involves the manipulation of training variables, such as number of reps performed per set, number of sets performed per exercise, total number of sets performed per workout, number and choice of exercises performed, frequency of workouts, frequency of body parts exercised weekly, order of exercises, the timing of training routines such as morning, noon, or night, variation in percentage of maximum weight lifted, changes in hand or foot spacing, and rest periods between sets. So there's a lot of change to consider, and that's what periodization is all about. It prevents stagnation and greatly reduces training plateaus. They're very common when you do the same thing over and over and over again. You reach an apex, a summit, and you can't get past it because you've been doing the same thing all the time. And periodization is a methodology that helps prevent that. It also keeps your workouts fresh. And changing training patterns at regular, seasonal, pre-planned intervals prevents boredom and, most importantly, greatly diminishes risk of injury. And this is huge because if you get injured, you can't train. And if you can't train, you can't make any progress. Plus, athletes who can't train are living in a prison. They go nuts, essentially, when they're just sitting around waiting for their bodies to heal. So if anything comes to our attention through this process, we want to prevent injury and we minimize the risk with periodized training sessions. The training phases vary in length and can be broken down into segments of time or periods based on specific goals and training patterns, which vary according to the calendar. Now, a macrocycle describes a full year of training. It provides a telescopic view of changes that will occur in intensity and volume of exercise, training format, and timing of competition. So you've got the macro cycle, which is the entire year mapped out in advance. Next, you've got a mesocycle, which usually refers to a time period of 4 to 6 weeks or as long as 2 or 3 months. In this case, with myself in mind, the mesocycles are about 3 months, and there's four of them, so we divide up the year. A mesocycle reflects changes made to ensure optimal gains in physical conditioning after training a certain way for 2 to 3 months. So after a while, your body begins to adapt to the same training, and this helps shake it up a little bit, and it relieves the boredom of the mind. It gives you something new and fresh. That's very important because the mental is as important as the physical. Finally, a microcycle, which is small, refers to 1 week of training or 7 days. Microcycles define the specificity of training routines week by week and day by day, and that becomes more of an element as we get closer to the day of dawn, the day of salvation, the competitive date, which in this case is June the 8th, 2013. So with regards to myself and training for this competition, Mr. Hawaii, my macro cycle began on June the 8th, 2012. I'm into it now, and ends on the same day in 2013, which is the day of the competition. So that's what you have to do. You have to map this thing out and as a surveyor and then start breaking it down into smaller segments that are practical and reasonable and tie in with your lifestyle and work schedule and family commitments, etc. So looking at the full year or macro cycle in advance on my wall calendar, which I talked about in our last SNU, I have broken the year down into 4 mesocycles of approximately 3 months each. So during the first mesocycle, I train heavy. And mesocycle 1 began June 8th and ends September the 7th. By heavy, I mean rep ranges of 3 to 6 for all primary compound movement sets, meaning things like barbell squats, deadlift, bench press, and overhead press. So if I do a set of squats, say I'm training legs, after 3 good warm-ups, and this is all detailed online with CheatTV, you can go to the website and look at the actual workout scenarios. But after I'm thoroughly warmed up, I'll go up to my first 2 heavy sets, 2 sets of 3, and then reduce the weight and try for 2 sets of 6. Everything's mathematically calculated, sets, reps, and as soon as I achieve the goal, then I increase the weight for the next training session, and that is why this is truly progression in reality happening as we achieve these goals. We've got progressive resistance training going on. Now, I train for power and strength right now. This is what low repetition focus is. Not so much about muscle size as power and strength, but I want to build the internal strength and power so that I can lift when it comes down to shaping and really the true bodybuilding mission. I have enough strength where I can lift a decent amount of weight to actually create some diameter changes in my slow twitch and fast twitch muscles. Rest time between workouts for now are critical. You know, I need lots of rest. I need more rest than usual because of the nature of the heavy and the intensity is high. I need plenty of sleep. You got to get the sleep. And if you can't get the sleep in, I wouldn't even try training heavy because it'll just knock you down and you'll become susceptible to injury and strain. You've got to rest and recover. I also eat as hard as I train. Supplements are taken like clockwork, and my shakes, my pre-workout shake, my post-workout shake, my before-bedtime shake, my afternoon shake, that's where the vitamins, the minerals, the creatine, the glutamine, the ribose, the chlorella, spirulina, all those goody, wonderful supplements, those wonderful, nutritious friends, that's how they get into my body. But remember, the chief goal during this period of heavy training, the first mesocycle, is not to get injured. Now, during the second mesocycle, I train medium to heavy. Mesocycle 2 for me begins September the 8th and ends December the 7th. So again, I can see that on my calendar. During this cycle, I keep my 5-day, one body part per workout routine basically the same, but I increase the rep range from 3 to 6 to 6 to 12 for the primary compound movements. I think of 6 to 12 reps as medium heavy, and I think of 3 to 6 as heavy. So that's the difference. My diet remains sharp and clean and pH balanced, keeping the diet alkaline, which is a standard for health and wellness, is so important. There's so many athletes, so many bodybuilders that don't get this. They acidify. Their metabolic rate starts to decrease. You don't want your metabolic rate to decrease when you're training for a bodybuilding competition. You always want to keep it up, and that is why staying alkaline, one of the reasons why I wear bare feet all the time is because that helps keep me alkaline also. Energy is released. And there's a balancing act that relates to energy, meridians, and the flow of chi in the body. But this is all important for recovery and immune system health. Now, the third mesocycle evolves into a lighter routine with new exercises, more of them, and more sets devoted to shaping and carving up my physique. I replace all the major compound movements with lighter alternative bodybuilding exercises. For example, I replace the barbell bench press, which I'm doing now with a focus on strength and power, with incline presses. I replace deadlifts with a wide variety of cable pull-downs and cable rowing. So I lessen the load. I'm not so concerned in the third mesocycle about strength and power. As a matter of fact, I'm not concerned about it at all. I've got what I've got to work with in mold and shape, and so that's what I'm going to do now. I'm getting out the smaller chisels, and I'm going to start chiseling out that statue of David, which is hiding inside of me. The goal is to mold my muscle into a nice symmetrical presentation for the show. Mesocycle 3 begins December the 8th, 2012, and ends February the 28th, 2013. Some of the dates here, again, are kind of cool because, for example, the fourth mesocycle begins 100 days out from contest day, which is March the 1st. So March the 1st, in my mind, is easy to remember. And again, I've got my wall calendar up. I've got pictures of myself. I write little sayings on there, little quotes that are stimulating, motivating, educational. It's all about staying up and focused and clear. You've got to be clear. It's like an Olympic athlete, focused on the event, but today is the day that I have to train. So what am I going to do? And what do I have to do tomorrow, and what is my schedule? So this is where the serious dieting fund begins, the fourth mesocycle. I call it my 100 days out, and I'll go in detail regarding what that means. But this is where the serious dieting begins, and combined with this dieting change and this sort of erosion of fat, the disappearance of any visible fat, but the preservation of muscle, combined with that is posing. I got to start by working on my routine and getting that into my consciousness so that it's more autonomic, so that when I'm actually on stage, I don't have to think about the routine. It's like driving. You can actually move from A to B and not even think about stopping at the red and going at the green because it's part of your habit. And, of course, there's morning walks, there's evening stairs, and now I shift to 6 workouts a week, and the 6th workout is traps, forearms, and calves, and on the days that I normally train those, I have now more room to do other newer exercises. So again, moving away from what I call a bodybuilding, powerlifting routine, you know, a power building routine, moving towards a true bodybuilding focus where I've got the muscle to shape, and my presentation and the illusion on stage is what I have to try and create. That's what it's all about. I train for 10 days, I guess, on May the 27th, for 10 days, beginning on that day, May the 27th, I train twice a day in the gym with weights, which is called a double split. Arnold used to do this in competing for the Olympia, and I learned how to do this, but it works really well for me, and it keeps the metabolic rate up, it keeps the muscle there, it keeps the system charged with electricity. But during this 10-day period, I go into a state of ketosis because I consume no carbohydrates. I can eat as much low-fat protein as I want. And believe me, I do. I engorge on it. Tracy usually buys a turkey, and we have fish, like whitefish in particular. I can make shakes with whey isolate in water with a little bit of hemp seed oil, but no carbs. So this is a very cool and interesting challenge. And I can tell you that the last time I did this for the Olympia, I became manic. I had a phenomenal amount of energy. I just couldn't sit still. I had to move. And it was great because that was what it was all about. And people think, well, how do you get motivated when you have a zero-carb diet? There's no energy. And, of course, that's not true at all. Protein provides not only energy, but it stimulates the mind and body. And then the mind, because it's focused and driven by reason and logic and goal setting, you are able to achieve things that most people would see as impossible. But it's not impossible. It challenges your will. It shows you what you're made out of, and it shows you that you're quite capable of more than you ever conceived you were. So this is one of the great things about setting a date a year in advance, is mapping the actual event out in advance forces you to become more aware of yourself through the process. And I think that is one of the great things about competing. So I just want to say that year-round, the diet is very clean. It's whole food, rich. Obviously, you know that. There's a lot of hydration. You know, the workouts are consistent. The dietary supplements are rich in antioxidants. I always have a pre-workout shake. I take my supplements at that time. It's called Shake and Take. And if I do drink coffee, which I do, it is black. There's no sugar. There's no milk. And, of course, there's no milk in my diet year-round anyway. So when I move into the 100-day diet, which I will go into detail on our next SNU clinical review because I don't have enough time this time, I just want to focus on the fact that if your diet is clean and whole and real and genomically compatible with your individual genome, it's not that difficult to begin the so-called dieting phase, which it can be very difficult for other athletes who eat a lot of junk, who eat hamburgers or milkshakes and fries and a lot of condiments and sugar and gobbledygook. And if you have to give those up and move into what is called a bizarre diet, it seems really extreme, and of course it really is. But if you're already on a clean diet, you're already a disciplined athlete, you're already used to doing this and you enjoy doing it, that I think is a big difference in terms of the recovery process that affects my body and mind after the show is done, because I don't want to destroy myself through this process. I want to stay well. You know, and staying well is what it's all about. So the diet year-round is reinforced with dietary supplements. I use whole grains. I use lots of greens, raw vegetables, a high water volume diet. The protein is up. I'm taking in 200 to 300 grams of nice, high-quality, non-denatured protein. A significant amount of that comes from whey isolate, hemp protein concentrate. And, of course, the best diet is made even better with the reinforcement of the steel and the reinforcement that comes from taking in the dietary supplements. And I think that if you understand that and get that and follow that advice, that you will be really happy with how you feel on the day of the event, as opposed to being just completely wiped out and crushed and having no energy, having an entirely different experience where you actually enjoy the event, you've got lots of energy, even though you have pressed yourself in the way that needs to be done to get lean and cut and rip. So remember those seven states of the physique. There's obese, there's fat, there's soft, there's hard, there's cut, there's ripped, and there's shredded. So the idea is to stay hard year-round and to create a diet, a lifestyle, and a training routine that gives you that hardness. You've still got nice muscle separation. You can see definition, but you're not necessarily ripped and shredded that comes as a result of the more intense dieting and obviously training for a competition. We want to be well. So again, training for sport and competing in sport is not necessarily the best thing for health and wellness, but it is a great experience. So you have to be careful how often you train for a competition and compare that to just living really well, which I think is probably for most people, practically speaking, by far more important. So I will go into my 100 days out diet in detail next time we have a discussion. And until then, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from Nobel Peace Prize laureate, physician, and medical missionary Albert Schweitzer. A man can do only what he can do. But if he does that each day, he can sleep at night and do it again the next day.